was very drawn to her. Somebody told me, you know, that Mary is an alcoholic. I said, oh, that's a shame. And he said, she's a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I said, oh, that's really terrible, isn't it? They said, she doesn't drink. I said, oh, yeah. That's why she smokes so much. That's why she's so twitchy. But sometimes they'd invite her over to the bar with me, and I'd offer her a beer. I wouldn't know. I wasn't that crass. But I'd say, could you drink a beer? She said, nope. She'd give me that great smile. And she looked a little like Mary Tyler Moore. She had all that toothy grin. She said, no. And I said, not just one beer. She said, no. And I was fascinated by this. And at the end of 1975, I'd had a long run in this play, 8 months. And there were days which were really terrifying for me, especially after matinees, to go on stage. I'd go over to the restaurant and have a couple of large tequilas. And I remember once they brought the play down at the beginning of Act One because I couldn't go on. That was the most humiliating experience. And I'd go cold just thinking of it. I had to walk off stage and go home. They put somebody else on in my place. And it was all those nickel and dime things, not the big events that really got to me, but being turned out of a bar one night, which I couldn't even remember going into the night before. But going to the bar, the man said, you can't come in here. I said, why not? He said, because you came in last night and started a fight. I said, I didn't. He said, you did. And they showed me a Polaroid of it. It was a place called McGillicuddy's. Can't even remember where it was. But I remember that humiliation. And I lived in an apartment on East 54th Street. And I was married, and I'd promised my wife that I wouldn't drink anymore after several scares. And I think I managed to stay sober or dry for maybe 2 days. And I got back one night and I tried to fit the key in the door, but it wouldn't go in. And she opened the door and she said, you're drunk. And I sat on the bed and I cried. And I gave up the fight. I said, I can't cope. I don't know what's happening to me. She sat beside me and she held my hand and she said, what do you mean? I said, I'm in the grip of something terrifying. And I said, I've worked so hard and I've tried to be so decent. And I feel so empty and dead. And I feel such dread in my heart. And she's a very calm, non-alcoholic, Southern English woman. Terminally moderate in everything. She's great common sense, very even-keeled. She's a lovely woman, very even-keeled. And as weird to me as I must be to her. One of those people who can drink one glass of wine in a night and pour most of it down the drain afterwards. Not at all like me. And I remember her holding my hand. She said, I don't understand. You have so much going for you in your life. I said, I know all that. She said, but why do you do it? I said, I don't know. I'm in the grip of something terrifying. I said, I have to drink, I can't stop, and I don't know what's happened to me. She said, well, I think you need help, maybe you should go to a psychoanalyst or something. And I didn't. And what I did, in fact, towards the end of my run in New York, I was in a party one night, and I was so terrified of what was happening to me, and so lonely, and the worst loneliness I'd ever felt. And here I was on top of the world, in my profession, and I was stuck against the wall. I couldn't move because I thought I'd fall into this big pit, which wasn't really there. And I saw Mary, the alcoholic, recovering alcoholic, and I asked her if she could help me. And she said yes. And she took me out next day, and we went into a rather kind of grand restaurant, I think it was Sardi's. And she said, I'll tell you about myself. I said, please do. She said, I'm an alcoholic, and I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And she said, if you are an alcoholic, she said, if you can understand that it's the first drink that gets you drunk. If you don't take the first drink, you won't get drunk. And I felt so insulted. I thought she was talking to a child. I said, well, I understand that. She said, would you like to come to a meeting? I said, no, I'll do it on my own. And I managed to put together about 6 weeks on my own, dry. And I felt quite comfortable. I didn't feel at all bad, with the help of little grass. Called Acapulco Gold, which in that one night of smoking grass, I thought the CIA were after me and the FBI. And that was my only venture into non-liquid drugs. And At the end of that run, it was July.